Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. All right, we're going to dive into one part of this resource-rich world that we live in, a resource that you may not be aware of. So if you're not, listen up, because if it's a startup world, then you want to start with a place called Launchpad, run by the SBDC, hosted by Octane. We're going to go through all that because we have the Senior Associate Director, Sean Sanders, with us. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
We have to dissect a little bit about what this thing is, because I don't think the majority of people know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be negative
that's
here, but
that's
I don't think everybody really knows it or gets it or understands it. So, and a lot of different complexities to this. So let's break it down. You've got the small business development centers, of which there are, I don't know, I always forget, six or eight of them or something. They keep growing here in Southern California.
Yeah.
They're nationwide, but in the Orange County Inland Empire region, I think there's six or eight of them or something like that. And they have some specialty centers within it. This is all funded by the SBA and the state of California. It's all designed to create resources to help businesses, mostly small businesses, start or grow. That's
the
whole thing.
De-risk, yes.
I like that, de-risk. All right, so we're trying to, within that world, that's kind of the world we've been playing in. They host this show, and they've been bringing in these specialty centers. Like the contracting center. I didn't know there was a contracting center just to help you get government contracts. I didn't know there was a finance center just to help you, you know, work out loans and other ways to, not even loans, how to raise money and get money and all this stuff here.
Yeah.
The complexities of whether you're starting or existing. You guys fit into another space, this whole world of the startup universe here. The startup, are we a startup nation now here? Is that the whole thing?
We're trying.
Got to start a business here?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, now I'm about 500 years older than you are here. You know, there was no startup, nothing. The word entrepreneur was some fancy French word that meant unemployed. You know, nobody knew what it meant.
Well, it still kind of does, but you know, it depends.
So, along comes the 70s and 80s, and suddenly Entrepreneur Magazine, entrepreneurship, Bill Gates, you know, this and Amazon, thinking, suddenly they're all celebrities, they're rock stars. Today it's Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. And I have kids come in. We're at UCI's Applied Innovation Center, fancy word for where they're trying to take some of the technology on campus and turn it into something. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be part of the startup nation.
Yep.
And these kids today study entrepreneurship before they even graduate. They're going to open something and start something. Doesn't anybody go work for General Motors anymore? Kid, you know?
I mean, kind of like, it's definitely a different world. The asterisk on me, it's all I've ever known. I mean, I've had a couple real jobs.
You think this is normal?
Yeah. I've been in the startup world for like 20 years. So this is just day to day is creating stuff, burning stuff, putting out fires, trying to figure it out. So
yeah. And as you said, the startup, we're going to talk about that too, the world of a startup. One day you're envisioning changing the world. The next day you're changing the toilet paper in the men's room or something here.
You know. Well, that's what I love about being an entrepreneur. So when you run a startup, some days you are playing CEO, and then some days you're emptying a trash can. Like, it's all hands on deck.
But or visionary. We're just envisioning how they're going to change the world and 100%. Get a 10x return and all this stuff.
Yeah. I've had other jobs where... Well, again, I'm an attorney, so I've had jobs where, like, I've done the attorney thing.
You went to Chapman here locally.
Yes,
congrats.
Yes, thank you. And then I remember I was working at this investment firm in between doing reviews of investments, making sure no one's breaking any laws. I took it on me.
Which they do all the time.
No comment. But I remember taking a moment to, like, review our security policy. I popped out my laptop and was able to find some flaws in our system. And I remember the chief legal officer was like, you know what? Again, thank you, but just do the attorney thing. Like, that's what we're paying you for. That's your job.
And I
like startups are, you know, again, it's all hands on deck.
We brought you to do something.
Yeah,
don't start thinking of other things you can do.
And startups are about, what do we got to get done? Find a need and fill it. keep it from, you know, slowing down.
Startups are making the impossible possible.
Yeah.
So I heard that years ago. Start off in Hollywood a million years ago, which was kind of that same startup ethos, kind of in a different way. Yeah, yeah. They're big studios and stuff. But when you're running a movie, it's run and gun. You're shooting this thing on the fly. Maybe you got the permits. Maybe you don't. Yeah. Maybe you got the financing. Yeah. Maybe you don't. Maybe the actor's going to come. Maybe they walk. And it's just chaos all the time. But it was kind of controlled chaos. And they would walk in. There was never a question about can we do it. It's just how are we going to do it?
It is easier to ask for forgiveness than permission is the way to go. Yeah.
That's what I was amazed. They'd walk in. I worked on some movies. I worked on some TV shows and stuff. And they would just say, well, I want this, and I want to circle the moon, and I want to do this, and I want this. And they say, we've never done, I don't know, just go figure it out. Yeah, and you have till 2 o'clock to do it here. Startup world has that same kind of urgency. Nothing's impossible. We can accomplish anything, everything, if we have enough money or imagination or technology or something here behind it. All right. So we're going
to
go.
But they have to. Like they have to because it's the only thing they have over the big companies. Big companies don't have the nimble ability to be risky. And a startup, so you lean into it. You go crazy and you see what happens. See what you break.
All right. So before, let's just go through your history real quickly. You actually said when you were younger, you worked for Geek Squad. What a perfect way to start as a kid, to be a Geek Squad member. And then, like, your whole world has just been geeking out on stuff.
No, my first startup was I had a tech support company. And then as a joke to myself, I got a job at Geek Squad during the summer. Mm-hmm. And I worked there for a while. I was there for like a year almost to the day. I almost sold them my tech support company.
Of course you did. You're 12 or something.
I got too greedy though. Unfortunately, their fund ran out of money before we could ink the deal. Former Geek Squad.
All right. So then you told me you're over at Chapman. You're going to be a lawyer. You make your parents happy. Hooray. I went to law school too.
And
similarly hated. I went to William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia. Yeah. Hated every minute I was there. And I was always trying to figure out, I'm going to go into something. I was working at a radio station on the weekends while I'm supposed to be in law school.
Yeah.
And one day I skipped the class and my professor called me up because I had a shift I could get over. So I skipped law school to go over and do the shift. This is in Norfolk, Virginia, big rock and roll station. And the guy calls him and he says, what's going on, dude? I thought you were sick and now you're on the radio. What are you doing? I thought, what am I doing? Why am I in law school? I hate this. So you similarly law school, not exactly thrilled about it. And you met Richard Sudik over at Chapman, who had the vision to create this incubator, accelerator, applied innovation center, this fancy place to take stuff on campus and turn it into something.
So just to say, I love being an attorney. I love the education that I got. Attorneys are the only people that read the rules to the board game we're all playing. So I love that. But I love risk. Like, I love risk. Risk can be mitigated. Risk can be factored in. Get profitable. It's fun.
Lawyers don't like risk. We got to get rid of risk.
I was always the attorney that was like, look, as an attorney, this is, you know, these are the boundaries, blah, blah, blah. But then I'd be like, as a business guy, you can factor in the risk.
Attorneys shut down risk. A risk is dangerous. Let's make it as safe as possible, which means we're not going to be too innovative or push the edge or do these
100%.
Things. 100%.
But when I was there, I had the luxury of meeting Richard Sudik when he was running one of the entrepreneurship programs over there.
Right.
And I let him know, my second year when I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to practice or not, I just said, hey, if there's any opportunity for me, you know, when I come out of this thing, please keep me in mind. And he said at the time, he's like, I'm talking to Irvine right now, UCI. There might be a thing. I don't know. But if there is, I'll tap you. And sure enough, right after I graduated, the first Cove
couple thousand square feet down the street here.
Yep.
Now it's grown into this 100,000 square foot behemoth. They've got a wet lab. They've got an event center. They've still got the incubators, accelerators, all that stuff here. And that's where we are. We're in the top floor of this building. All right. So when you came in, you're like, oh man, I know the whole history of this thing, how we got here and stuff here.
I remember when we used to do office chair races around, because this was just all empty, like concrete and like plastic wrap around everything. Yeah. And seeing it go from that. In fact, if you play at the air hockey table, that thing almost killed me because I drew the short straw.
They took that away, you know.
Oh, they took it away?
They took all that
no.
away. Yeah, all
oh,
that's gone.
No.
Oh, no. When they grow up, when they got rid of you kids and they grew up and they turned it into something
serious. That hurts because I risked my life to get it here. And
all
that's not,
gone. Oh. All right. So you come with this kind of understanding, this is the way the world is.
Yeah.
But is it really that way in Orange County? And I'll preface it by saying, I'm going to answer my own question a little bit. One of the things I hear all the time in the center, 15 years putting on business shows here is lots of innovation, lots of excitement. Certain specialties here in Orange County, med tech, medical devices, maybe a few other, ophthalmology, and we're huge in that, and some other areas, maybe cybersecurity and some other kinds of things that Orange County is known for. But there isn't an ecosystem. There isn't an infrastructure. Chapman has a little program. Cal State Fullerton has a program. Or UCI Irvine has some programs. There's the Cove. There's Octane. There's a couple of these things that have sprung up to try and create this bubble in which money and imagination can meet and make things happen. And there is a talent pool of whatever you need, engineers and people to make all this stuff come up. We seem to be missing parts of that equation. Is it just that it's not here, it's all up in the Bay Area, and it's going to stay there, or in Boston or Texas or someplace? Or can we and have we made progress in building our own ecosystem? Because I know that's what Launchpad is designed to do.
We've 100% made progress. It is a complicated issue. There's cultural issues. So if you, we talked earlier before we started about how if you look at the Bay Area, it's like this natural consequence of the smart schools pump out smart students, and you have capital infrastructure. And now you have this
in a tightly packed area.
Yes. And so now that it exists, it can pluck and cherry pick.
They can cross pollinate. I used to work here and I got to know you, and now you're starting something. Why don't you come over? Yep. And I invested with you last time. Let me throw some money. They're all interwoven. They know each other. Yep. It's a system that here, maybe because we're more spread out,
we're in the middle. So, like, one of the good things about Orange County is, like, you're a fairly short drive to L.A., you're a fairly short drive to San Diego.
Right.
But then if you're trying to build a community, the downside is, like, L.A. had established communities, San Diego has established communities, and so Orange County historically has been sort of torn between the two. When people have a finite amount of hours, where do they spend them? Maybe they'll drive to LA, maybe they'll drive. That being said, I feel like places like the Cove and places like Octane, or even what Scott Fox is doing with his local groups, and
Scott's been on her numerous times.
The amount of progress we've made in the past 3 to 4 years.
What does he call it? Startup?
OC Startup Council, and then he also has the Mastermind Program.
Shout out to Scott. Go check out his stuff there.
What's fun about that, it takes people like that. Like, at the end of the day, you have a bunch of startups that are just clawing to stay alive, doing whatever they can do to raise money or keep their company going. You need people outside of that pressure to plant a seed, to create the community, to water it, to foster it. And we do have them. It's something that I see, having seen where it was several years ago versus now, it's huge. But
and is it just the space? For example, I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole. We're at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. Yep. One of the things that the Beal Foundation, founded by Don Beal, former chairman of Rockwell, funded this group, and I think his son runs it, Ken Beal, here, this foundation, and they put the name on this building for UCI, let's bring technology over and turn it into something, and they also created this nonprofit called University Lab Partner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a wet lab.
Yep.
And a wet lab is just simply a place, you got the electron microscopes and all the little fancy gadgets you need to develop drugs, and the containment, because you can't just go down and rent an office and start splicing genes or whatever they do. I don't know.
That attitude.
So, you know, it's all that special stuff. We don't want it to be the Wuhan lab. It's controlled. It's all this stuff. So that has been a hit because in the whole county, tons of drug companies, but they had to go somewhere else to develop drugs. So now they can develop drugs. And I think there's 40 of them the last time I looked. It's a big hit. Sometimes it's just the physical space and the equipment and the special requirements you need to get started.
Yep.
Or is it the access to capital and mentors and money and all that
stuff? It's a bit of a, so it'll always be capital. One of the fun things, I guess, having dug as deep as I have into our local ecosystem, especially through Launchpad, trying to find new candidates come to the program,
right?
There are incredibly sophisticated technologies that are just like flying under the radar. They, you know, they might have a LinkedIn page, they go to a few events, but they're not like they're just keeping their head down, working, then trying to raise capital.
Right.
So we try to create events to ferret them out and then, you know, have them socialize and whatnot. Capital is a big one. Obviously, we have a lot of groups around here, like Tech Coast Angels is a big one. Mm-hmm. You got the Cove Fund.
Shout out to David Friedman. He's still the president of Tech Coast Angels in here a while ago.
Yeah. And then you got JC Ruffalo over at the Cove. It's a good community, but I guess, you know, this kind
of
ties
had him on. We need to get him on one of our shows.
JC.
Yeah.
You're probably listening to this because I
Come
sent you the
JC.
Link.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'll send him the link.
Let's get Jeffrey. Because the reason I ask, and then we'll dive into specifically what you do and some success stories here.
Yeah.
I hear over and over again, lots of clever people,
great schools, lots of interesting ideas, particularly in med tech, medical sciences and stuff here, because that's, we got so many companies. We got Abbott Labs and Edwards Life Science and all these things supporting that kind of stuff here. But what I hear, they got to go somewhere else to get the money. In this building alone, there are people raised $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, but they got to go to Y Combinator up in the Bay Area. They got to go somewhere else to Boston or Texas or someplace.
Yeah.
The appetite or the awareness of investing in these particularly long-term stuff, it's not going to pay off right away. Yeah. So the puzzle that needs to get figured out here.
So I will always say that, wealthy individuals, billionaires, and otherwise listening to this,
call
please,
us.
Yeah, come. Call us. Call visit us. Our beaches.
We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, I'll show you some great taco places. capital will always be it. But it also comes down to, again, the culture of the capital. If you have a really early stage, high risk startup, you can go up to the Bay Area and raise crazy money with just the dumbest idea possible. You can go Juicero. I'll throw them under the bus. That was a $400 juicer. It was one of the, and they, a $400 million juicer that they just blew through the capital. Had no.
Yeah.
If you want to increase the statistical probability of an early stage company raising capital, there are some areas that just have higher risk tolerances.
Because they've made money. They're willing to roll the dice. They understand this.
Higher capital velocity. And so here we do have, like, our investors would be a bit more conservative. They're looking for something that is de-risked, or your ability to explain it to them in a way that makes sense. And that's what we do at Launchpad. Our job is to help you tell that story so that the investor understands why it's not going to, again.
So we're going to delve into that, because when I came here, I'm in this building and I'm a storyteller and I meet all these people and I say, what's your story? And they say, well, the story is I saw the need. Here's the solution. I said, that's not a story.
No, that's a post-it.
That's a post-it. These pitch decks are built around, here's the need. Here's the 10 times return plus you're going to get on it, and here's our solution to the thing.
Yep.
Not the struggle, not the passion, not the purpose, not even who we're serving or what it is. There's no story of the founders. There's no story of who you're serving. There's no story of the struggle of how you had to pivot. You thought it was this, and then it adapted this, and you found all that thing that goes into creating a startup, that story that we all can rattle off, what Bill Gates did in his garage or Apple did in their garage, HP did in their garage.
Yep.
This notion of, you know, it started with a struggle and took a while, almost lost it 10 times along the way, but suddenly we figured it out.
Yeah.
Is that what you helped them figure out, that story?
Yes.
How to tell it,
so,
how to explain it?
A lot of the examples you provided are like the after fact when you're looking backwards. So there's a story of like, how did we get here?
Right.
Our story is like, where are we going from here? So our story is, how do you tell a business story in a way that can pierce through the multiple barriers of a critically minded audience like investors? How do you pierce through their hesitation, their bias to make them
excited? And it's more than just money. And the money may have caught their attention.
Yeah.
But now how do I know you're going to pull this trick off? How do I know you're going to stick to it? How do I know you're going to pivot when you have to?
100%. It's an emotional reaction. They have to feel like they can't miss out on this. Like they are witnessing something that despite the risk, despite the reality that, it could fail, there's enough things in the story that touch upon those biases or those fears that you're like, you know what? I'll roll dice on this. This is something that I feel fits my risk profile in a way that I can do it. And if you can't tell that story, I've seen amazing technologies that could have probably changed the future from like gene therapies to like just AI coming down that have died on the vine because the founder can't resonate with an audience. And I've seen some of like the worst ideas that I'm like, you raised how much money? Because they're charming. Because they're charming.
They tell a good story.
They tell a good story. Since the time that we sat around a fire and clicked rocks to entertain ourselves, storytelling is all that matters.
You're coming back all the time because you're teaching and preaching what I'm always saying.
Yeah, no, so we do business storytelling. And at the end of the day, we feel like it's the most important asset a company can have, which is a story that other people care about.
Well, let's see if we can wrap up this story, and we'll give you a few more minutes, but 5-10 minutes or so here. So tell us the pitch. Tell us the story of Launchpad. When did it start and what does it do?
Octane.
When did it launch and how did it
I should have brought my notes on that. So Octane has been around for like more than 20 years.
And Octane itself is another group I don't think most people are aware of. Octane is what?
Octane is a convener of ore. So they have, I mean, we say that because they like to bring together investors, collaborators, innovators. Many people know them from their events arm. So they have large events like Technology Innovation Forum or the
Ophthalmology.
They also have different investment groups or thought leaders.
And they got huge people on their boards.
100%. Like yes.
Broadcom, I don't know who it is, but it'd be like Broadcom, Disney. I mean, big names like that. Maybe yes. They're not on the board, but they've been part of it. The groups like that participate.
So Octane had always been the source of like innovation locally, and then from that came about Launchpad, which was going to help to identify opportunities to streamline your story, like streamline your pitch deck, streamline your ability to tell that investment story.
And then do you sort of act like an accelerator or an incubator? Do you just take an idea and turn it into reality and help mentor them, help them find some money, help them stay focused, help them to find the point, the real story in this? Is that part of it? Or is it just an accelerator? You already got it. We're just going to accelerate your launch.
So we are a seed to Series A virtual accelerator. So what we focus on is when a company has something, a technology that is proprietary, if you poured a bunch of, you know, gasoline on it, it could go big kind of thing. So we don't deal with traditional brick and mortar.
This is hot. This could explode.
Yeah. Like that high tech, when you think of like Shark Tank or investment, like that's what we're working on. You come into us, you basically pitch to us, and then we help you refine that pitch. And so in the real world, what happens, you go out, you pitch, you either hear back or you don't. You probably don't. You never have a feedback loop to know what worked, what didn't. What we do is between the data we've collected over the years, we do these panel pitches where we collect feedback from the judges and the subject matter experts. Like, we know what moves the needle. So we go through this program of trying to refine and optimize that pitch. Ultimately, we like to get that startup to something that's called a panel pitch, where they pitch to 10 to 20. Sometimes there's investors in there, sometimes subject matter experts, but people that know it and can poke holes, and they get that feedback. They get, this is what worked for me. This is what didn't work for me.
Do you give them office space, though?
No, it's all virtual. It's all virtual. They can come to our physical office to meet for, you know, certain in-person type events, but mostly it's all done through Zoom.
And how many do you take? And do you take a piece of the action? Do you cut yourself in? Because a lot of the accelerators, especially accelerators.
No, good question.
Hey, we're going to help you grow, but if you do, by the way, we own now a piece of it here.
No, that's just what's the beautiful thing about the SBDC is that, like, I pitch it at, it is the too good to be true, but it is type of situation.
That's what I keep saying. Because, sounds too good to be true here.
Because we don't take a piece. We don't take equity. We don't take money. The only thing, the only requirement that I ask of the startups, or that we require for startup to participate, is they got to provide information. So the reason that we exist is because other companies that we've helped that have provided, that have raised money, gone to succeed, they let us know. Then we let the SBDC know, and they say, hey, you're doing a great job. And that keeps the wheels turning.
Keeps the funding there. Hey, look, we got one.
100%. But aside from that, you get to talk. Like, I have my own consulting practice. People pay me quite a bit of money for the same advice I give for free through the SBDC. So it's this amazing resource that
me
I feel
too.
Like.
You know, full disclosure, I'm an SBDC consultant. They usually mostly hire podcasting stuff onto me, or new media or social media, that kind of stuff. Because that's the world I've played in for a number of years. And I got this as my full-time gig, but I do some side work, some little, you know, extra work, kind of as a give back to the community. And so, people pay me a lot of money to do this. But when you go through the SBDC, they're paying me a little bit of something, but mostly it's kind of a volunteer thing.
You know, people get suspicious about it. Like, I think like 15 minutes of my pitch is usually just trying to diffuse their, their totally realistic. But that's, so it's virtual.
So how many do you take, and is there a process, and how do I get in?
We're rolling basis. The best way I can say to apply is you can go to our website, go to the octaneoc.org website.
All right. Whoa. Oh, all right. Yeah. Let's spell that out because everybody's like scrambling.
Yeah.
Octane is just like it sounds, O-C-T-A-N-E, and I forgot what all that stands for. Orange County something.
Yeah, and then octaneoc.org. So that's octaneoc.org.
Because they're hosting this thing.
Yes, they are our host. And then Launchpad, again, is their virtual accelerator.
Because every SBDC center needs a host. UC Riverside, UC Irvine, Cal State Fullerton, they need somebody that kind of provides the office space and
resources. Like, through Octane's network of investors and advisors, and it's what allows us to dig as deep as we can. We have people from Johnson & Johnson and Medtronic, like these
big
time. They come in and they'll listen to a startup and be like, okay, this worked, this didn't.
So they host it, but the SBDC has the contract to run it.
Yes.
With people like you. And 100%. You're in an interim director. You're looking for a new director right now?
Yep.
And because I knew a couple of the past directors here. It's got to be a difficult job because you're trying to find a way to bring startups in and help yeah. accelerate them along here,
yep.
help them to maybe craft better stories and get some access to some mentors. Do you ever look for money, or is it just all the messaging?
So it's mostly the messaging. As a consequence of our network, there are plenty of startups that have come through and raised capital, like at the events or through people that kind of watch what's inside of Launchpad.
Right.
But what we like to focus on, especially to focus the company, is the story. Like, we're focusing on your pitch deck or the components of your story. Maybe it's your market sizing, your go-to-market strategy.
I'd love to have you come back one time and walk through that, because I've said a number of things. David Friedman and I have talked about this a number of times. Here's what little I understand about the pitch deck. Yeah. The pitch deck is it's the bait, right? It's the elevator pitch. You got to grab their attention. Supposedly you got 30 seconds or 5 seconds yeah. or 1.3 seconds yeah. or something to grab them here.
Yeah.
How do you summarize it? How do you get it down to its simplest form so people, and then they go, I get it. Oh, that's so cool. I got
to
be in there.
So the pitch deck is a means to the end. The end is obviously you get a check.
Right.
How do you get the check? You get the check by triggering that emotional reaction. When an investor is golfing with a buddy and they say, I just saw this amazing tech and this Incredible. Is what it does. And in that moment that they're excited, they're able to explain it to that other investor.
Exactly.
And every word that they use was planted there by you through your pitch deck. The exactly. pitch deck is a vehicle to plant an idea and then
But get it's more than numbers. That's what I keep hearing.
No.
Everybody thinks it's, here's the need. 80 million people need this. I got a solution. It only costs this. And therefore, you're going to get the fabled 10x, 10 times.
yeah,
if you
yeah.
put in a million, you're going to get yeah. 10 million back or yeah. more. The 10x, there's got to be a scale. Is it just numbers?
No.
Or is it an emotional, is it a people story?
It's mostly a people story, because exactly. you're trying to right. initially identify like your problem. What pain are you solving that actually
And
you
why
know, that
you?
Matters? Why
my,
you? Yeah.
And how do I know you're going to stick with it to conclusion? You're not going to give up along the way.
Every founder is going to find themselves at 4 a.m. thinking, man, there's easier ways to make money. And in that moment, I need to know you're not going
to fail. Or to pivot and to say, I thought it was this, but
yep.
the market's telling me it's
yep.
this, and I don't want to do this. I
yep.
want to do this. This
yep.
is it.
Yep.
So all that stuff. I keep hearing, they keep saying they're betting on the jockey, not just the horse.
But more the jockey than the horse. Investors will forgive a lot about the horse if the jockey is that amazing, but
right.
not vice versa.
Yes.
Not that it could be the best horse in the world, but if they don't believe in the founder, no, I'm going to go look at the other 100 pitch decks in my
yeah,
inbox.
Because they all can make money. They're all great ideas.
Yeah.
Why am I going to give it to you?
Yeah.
How do I know you're going to?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. And I see you've got a great solution
yeah,
potentially,
yeah.
but how do I know you? I'm
yeah.
going to hand you the check.
Yeah.
Well, you're preaching the converted, because I've been saying this for a long time. And too many times my perception was of pitch decks, all numbers.
Yeah.
People were irrelevant in this story. It's how many have it? How much can you make? How much is it going to cost, et cetera, et cetera. It's all a numbers game, and that's all they're looking at. And that might attract their attention, but now I got to give the check to a person.
Always, always. And what I will say, sometimes, like, East Coast investors are a bit more numbers focused, so you have to be a bit heavier, but it's still down
East
to
Coast,
the...
they're difficult people. Sorry.
But it's still like, it's the passion, though. It is convincing the investor that you are so obsessed with this,
yes.
that their money is what you need in order to solve that obsession.
Never say die. Never
yeah,
quit.
Yeah.
And yet willing to listen if you start saying, hey, you got something interesting. You should go this
yeah.
way here with
yeah.
it. Quit thinking about this.
Yep.
The famous story of 3M, and they used to allow their researchers a certain amount of time to work on their own projects. This guy wanted to come up with glue, and he came up with the worst glue possible. It didn't stick hardly to anything. It
yeah.
didn't stick.
Yeah.
And rather than throw it away and keep working on it, he kept playing with it. And he said, well, maybe that's it. It's
yeah.
called a post-it note.
Yeah.
It sticks without leaving residue. It's
yeah.
a lousy glue. It barely holds anything. But that's exactly why it's genius. So.
Oh, man, we could do a whole show just on pivots. I love pivots. Like when a company... Like, it's like, yeah, okay, let's find a way to make this work. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Built it to do this, but really everybody's excited about that. That's
yeah.
what you're excited about?
Yeah.
All right. Give us any funny stories, because we're always looking for stories here. A good pitch, a crazy pitch, a successful pitch.
Okay. Let me go back to...
Give me a story or two before we leave.
Tell me
a story.
Let me go back to when you're doing numbers versus story.
Right.
The best example I have, and it's been stuck with me now for, I don't even know, 8 years, nine
okay.
years. I was at this black tie.
Oh, sorry, we're out of time. No, no. You can download the pitch deck and read this later. Okay. No, no.
I was at this black tie investment event, and I remember, like, before it got started, like, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna get freshened up, so I go to the restroom, and whatnot. As I'm in the restroom, there's this guy in there that's doing like vocal, like, and I'm just weirded out because he's like, oh, la, 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 la. And I'm just like, okay, Deshaun, just wash your hands and then back out slowly. I remember I come out and I talked to my girlfriend, now wife. I'm like, there's this guy in there, man. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I get up there and it's a pitch competition. A few pitches in, here comes this guy. What I later learned, he's like a former Nickelodeon Disney kid. He came out with this just, like, he just belts, I need to do a party, but I can't find the right. And his startup at the time.
Startling. He projects, yeah, right?
He projected. Willie G, if you're listening to this right now, I still love you. So Willie G was the founder of something called Party on Demand. Uh-huh. And his pitch was just, everyone put down their phones. Everyone focused. It was just emotional magnet of like, what are you telling me about? And yeah, his numbers arguably weren't really there. He didn't have the most clear numbers, the most clear go-to-market strategy, but he was such a, I want to work with that
passion
guy. And he ended up raising, I think he just kept going to these pitch competitions and winning. And again, like, that's, if you have that ability to connect with the audience, there are so many deals. Deal flow is so easy these days.
But some of these guys are like geeks. So you start off as a geek. The geeks don't just tell stories well. They can show you this little gadget they made, this great idea, this scientific tabulation. But explain it to them. They're geeks.
Worst one that comes to mind. We always tell startups, like, hey, it's good to demo your product, right? Because, you know,
they and make sure it works. Wasn't it a while ago that, like, Apple, I forget when Jobs was still alive, I think, didn't they try and show something and failed miserably on stage?
Does. Or like Elon Musk when he tried to show the bulletproof windows and it shattered. Like,
shattered.
But it helps to show that it's more than just an idea.
Right.
And so we had this this company pitching through Launchpad and developed a way to suture wounds without using like
needle and thread.
And came up with like proprietary glue thing. It's interesting. And then in the middle of the pitch, he stops. He pulls up a video and it was him. Like, it was him cutting open his arm on video, and everyone in the room is like, what the?
Oh. And,
but to his credit, as he's doing this, he rolls up his sleeve. He had no scar. But what's bad about that is I can't remember the name of the company.
Turned into a good thing, turned into a bad thing.
So many of us in that room don't remember the name of the company, but remember trauma.
Remember the pitch. We're still in therapy watching that thing.
And I told him, I said, look, man, I can't. I said, most of the investors I know review decks like at lunchtime. I can't send that.
The guy shoots a bullet through his chest to prove that he can cure himself here or something. And then you watch the blood splatter and everything. I don't need to see this. Yeah. No,
the best pitches are the ones where, again, you can see the obsession from the founder in a way where you're like, I get it. The worst ones are the ones where it's either there's a disconnect or they become defensive. Like, I can't tell you how many times there's a founder where, you know, it's their baby. I get it. But they're not willing to take any criticism or feedback. And then that's.
Have you thought of this? No, my child's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So that gets a little rough, but there's a lot of in between.
Well, I'd love to have we should do a whole episode on pitch decks. We should do a whole episode on good and bad pitches, the good, bad, and the ugly, because I'm sure these stories are legendary among your community, among the investment world. And I bet everybody's got one, a great one and a bad one.
100%.
I don't think most people really understand what it takes to start a business. More so than ever, we're brought up to think, I can do it. My grandson, he's 10.
Yeah.
He's like, Grandpa. I said, what, do you want to be a fireman? No. you want to work for a company? No. Yeah. I'm going to start something. I'm like, you don't even know what you're going to start. What do you mean you're going to start something? Or he's going to be a YouTube star. It's just we're all going to be entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a world where zero of the world, everybody worked for a company. Somebody along the way started Ford, but a billion other people worked for that company.
Yeah.
It was one in a billion that started something.
Yeah.
Now it seems to be the other way. Everybody's got an idea and everybody watched Shark Tank and everybody thinks they can do it.
I definitely noticed an increase of people that want to do that. I will say though that it doesn't come down to whether or not it's easy to want to solve a problem. It comes down to how do you handle failure. I mean, that's when you really sort out the entrepreneurs.
Over and over and over.
Yeah, you got to be able to be like, okay, it didn't work. I'm going to do something else. But luckily, that's why if you're listening to this, please use your SBDC. Use your like organizations like Launchpad or any of the different centers out there.
Good point.
We are here to help de-risk you. You can have that idea. Don't go in it alone.
Fail with us.
Work with us. Fail with us and succeed with us. Pivot with us. Yeah. Grow with us. We're here for you.
We'll find the flaws and we'll fix them. Help you fix them here.
Yeah.
Whether it's your podcast, whether it's your pitch deck, whether it's your applications to be a government contractor, yep. thousands of things, that whether it's just your basic Craig and what he does with basic financials and stuff. You were saying, what? This doesn't show anything, this. What, are you crazy? You're going to take this to a bank and get a loan for this?
Yeah, we're like fleshy human versions of ChatGPT. You just talk to us, and we have all the answers. We have all the answers, but they're real. They're accurate.
And we will adjust them depending on what tone you want. Do you want us to be friendly folksy?
100%. Yeah, in poetry.
How do they reach? We'll do it in poetry. That'd be fun. Do a pitch in poetry. All right. How did they reach you? Where did they get started? It was octane.org. Was that the first
one? Octaneoc.org. And there you can apply to Launchpad. And then, you know, feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn.
Does it cost anything?
No cost. We don't take equity. We don't take money.
Come on.
All we ask is that,
if it works, tell us the story.
Yeah. If it works, share your story so that we can help amplify the voice of groups like the SBDC so that other people can be like, I want to succeed. How did they succeed? Oh, they succeeded because they had help from these SBDCs.
That's how you get the funding from the big guys to the SBAs and stuff. You got to prove once in a while we did something.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Well, I know you're doing something. You're doing some incredible things here. I don't think it gets necessarily attention. Maybe it's just because it's a world we don't understand. We all have an idea, but we don't know how to launch it. There is a place, folks, called Launchpad here in Orange County, run by the SBDC, hosted by Octane OC. Start there. Go find them. It's free. And they're going to teach you the beginning of how to launch a business and maybe lead you some directions towards mentors. Maybe even money. You might show them a little money here some along the way. You guys don't have any money, though, invest. You're not.
Not directly, no. There's groups, again, we work with, but directly we're just here to help you de-risk.
Okay. De-risk. Boy, that's a huge one because that's all risk when you're starting 100%. A business. It's 110% risk. Thank you for coming on, Sean Sanders. I think it's just the beginning of the story. We hope we hear a lot more about you and everything. Anything coming up? Any events or anything? Because you do these Launchpad events, I know.
So we have the Technology Innovation Forum is coming up in a few weeks. So go to the website, check out the events page.
Okay. Can anybody go to that?
You'd have to go and register. I forget what it is that's going. It's through the events arm of it. But it's a great way to meet other entrepreneurs, investors, people.
See what they're doing. Meet the community. Because otherwise, we're all in our own garage trying to invent stuff.
But locally, 1 Million Cups. You have Scott Fox Mastermind. There are
1 Million Cups used to be on campus, I think, here somewhere.
It used to be, where they had the Starbucks in the other parking lot by the Old Cove.
By the Old Cove, down
the
street.
And then, I don't know if they've moved here. I don't know.
This is all part of that research park that people don't even know exists. It's the backside of campus. Yeah. Medtronic is next door. All these, things happening here. Again, I just don't think everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got a dream.
Yeah.
But it takes some concrete steps to launch it. And it starts at places like Launchpad, run by the SBDC, hosted by Octane. Yeah. One of many places you can go and start to hang out and figure out if I got something real or not here.
100%.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.